Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth
has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples
of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them
to obey everything I have commanded you.
And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age."
Welcome to Exploring Missions, connecting mission needs with those equipped by God to meet those needs across the world or across town. And now, the host of Exploring Missions, Bert Harper.
You know, heroes come in all sizes, in all places, but I can tell you, far as I'm concerned, one of those heroes, or some of those heroes, are bivocational pastors. They work full-time jobs. It's amazing what all they do. And then they prepare and get ready and deliver God's word. And I know Sunday school teachers do that as well, and small group leaders. I appreciate that. But there's something about the pastor's job. It's got to be on target. And so today we're talking about some biblical models and biblical perspectives on that thought about how can I use my vocation and serve God as well. Well, I believe you can, and I believe God wants you to. If you can't use your vocation in serving God, you might need to look elsewhere and say, "God, what else would you have me do?" Well, Nathan, been looking forward to this teaching that you're going to do, and I appreciate your willingness to do it because you are in that boat as well. You're on staff at a church, but you're also a mission with Vapor Ministries, and then you do this with me, Exploring Missions. You're kind of tri-vocational, and plus a husband and parent to a girl and two teenage boys. What do you do with your spare time, Nathan?
Well, yeah, exactly. But, you know, there's a lot of people in the same sort of boat of just busy. And I think what's important is that you're busy doing what God's called you to do, equipped you to do, put you in place to do, and that it's for His glory. And so no matter what kind of job you may or may not have, but whatever you're working at, do it to all your might and let God receive glory from that and in that job.
This is what I've observed. Part of what I found out to be effective are what we call laymen and not clergy in the workplace anyway. So here's the clergy being a laity in the workplace. So I think they've got double expectation, but they also have a lot of proof of what they've done. They've stayed in the word, they're sharing the word and giving word. So I want you to take this away and share with our audience today about the possibility. And I think you call this tent making.
Yeah, making tents, tent making.
Okay. Well, take it away, man.
Okay. Well, I will say, just adding to what you mentioned, how I would say not just pastors, those that are in vocational ministry in some capacity, whether full-time or bivocational, but we all have a vocation. We all have a calling. If you can't pinpoint it specifically, you can all know your calling is to make disciples of all the nations. That's what you're called to do as a follower of Jesus, as a disciple of His. Just also to make disciples. And so your job can be maybe even your primary mission field for that. Your home is a part of that, your neighborhood, or if God sends you to a new place, a new location, that is also a part of it. So as you were going, as Jesus said in the Great Commission in Matthew 28, as you are going, make disciples of all the nations. So as you are working, whatever it is you're doing, that's what we are to be about. But today I want to specifically talk about the idea of tent making, making tents for the glory of God. And that may be a new term to some of you. And so I want to explain kind of where that comes from. But for some of you, you know exactly what I mean when I say tent making. It's kind of a Christian jargon word. It actually comes from the Bible, and it comes from Paul, actually, in Acts chapter 18. Verses 1 through 3, it says this: "Then Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he became acquainted with a Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, who had recently arrived from Italy with his wife Priscilla. They had left Italy when Claudius Caesar deported all Jews from Rome. Paul lived and worked with them, for they were tent makers, just as he was. So the idea of tent making comes from this verse in Acts 18, verse 3, that Paul, along with Priscilla and Aquila, they all had a job of tent making. They made tents. They repaired tents. That was probably more of the workload that they had, was actually repairing tents. In ancient days, in every city, there would be a marketplace. And in the marketplace, especially in the Greco-Roman world, there would be booths, tents set up where merchants would have their goods, maybe even provide services. They would sell those. That would be the public square, the marketplace. And so, as you can imagine, like any building needs repair, a tent would definitely need some repair from time to time, probably more often. And so that's what Paul, that's how he earned a living. That's how he made money. That was his salary. So along with him and Priscilla and Aquila. So the idea is tent making became a term then used for anyone who has a quote-unquote normal job, a regular job, even secular, some people would use that term. But the money that is made, it allows them to live and support their family and their lifestyle, which their lifestyle is a lifestyle lived on mission for the Lord, whether it's in ministry in a local church or on the mission field somewhere. But the idea is that Paul, throughout his ministry, only received occasionally offerings and gifts and support from local churches. Most of the time, he did not accept that for himself, even though he talks about, I think it's 1 Corinthians 9 that talks about, he had the right to do that, along with all the apostles, to be funded by churches, by the local church, to receive a salary that way. Paul thought it would be better that he didn't. And so Paul chose to rely on this gifting, if you will, this skill, artisan skill that he had developed as a tent maker. And so it would free the churches up to give into other critical areas. And that's what you see as he's talking to the church in Rome and maybe even in Corinth, like, hey, collect an offering. When I come through Rome, I'll get it and it'll help me get to Spain. Or when I come back to Corinth, you better have the money ready so I could take it to Jerusalem for the believers there who are going through persecution. And so you get the idea of where tent making comes from. And so today, people have kind of used that thought and put that practice into their own lives. And you can have a job, a normal job, and that gives you a platform then to do ministry and mission work in certain places. And so that's kind of what we want to talk about today. Let me give you a few notes here on why tent making is a great opportunity or a great way to carry out the Great Commission, why it's a great platform to make disciples. Number one, there's a great opportunity around the world. If you have certain skills, certain training, certain levels of know-how and experience, you can go to a lot of places in the world where they don't just hand out missionary visas at the border. There are some places in the world today, there are some countries. You can apply for a visa and move to that country, and you can be an official missionary or religious worker like you can in the United States. There's other countries that allow this, but there are fewer countries that allow this these days than do. And so if you want to be a missionary in some countries, you can just go be a missionary and raise your own support, maybe be funded by a church or a denomination. And nothing wrong with that. That's great. But there are other countries where they are closed to that. In fact, they would actively prevent you from coming into the country if they knew specifically that you were coming as a missionary. But if you were coming as a businessman and had a real job or a lady working in a as a doctor in a hospital, or fill in the blank. There's a lot of vocations, a lot of jobs, a lot of opportunities to serve as a tent maker in different countries. They will be glad to welcome you into their country for a period of time. And while you're there serving and working in that capacity, you can also be a part of the mission work, be a part of the disciple-making gospel work that's happening wherever you're serving. So there's a great opportunity for tent making. There's also a great need for that, because a lot of these places that are closed, they're considered closed access countries. They're closed to the gospel worker to come in openly. But there's also, that's where they, their population that lives in those places, that's where most of the lost people live. That's where unreached people groups live. That's where people who have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, they live in these places that are closed, usually that are officially closed to missionaries. So it requires some sort of creative access to come into these countries, to be a business person, to be a medical person, to be an educator, to be an engineer, whatever the case might be. So the opportunities are great, and the need is great as well. There's also a great cost when we're talking about vocational missions and giving money, finances, to support a typical missionary family from the West, let's say. A typical family in America usually requires, in different countries, it's different amounts. But in general, you're looking at about $30,000 per adult to support that person every year on the mission field. And so it can be quite expensive if you see the how many missionaries we need in the world today. And then you send everybody that's available and willing to go, and then the finances to keep them in the field for a long time, the money can run out if you're not wise stewards of it. And so tent making, people that go and support themselves through their job, makes a lot of sense, financial sense, and even like as a pun, dollars and cents, I guess. So there's a great cost related to vocational missions that tent making helps alleviate that. Let me look at a friend of mine, J.D. Payne, who's been on this program before. He has his own podcast. It's called Strike the Match. J.D. does a great job of giving lessons and teachings and thoughts about mission leadership. And one of his episodes, he talked about a tent maker's DNA. And so let me give you these points that J.D. made about a tent maker. He said, first, a tent maker understands the what and the how. The what for a tent maker is disciple making among the nations. This is our priority. This is why we go. This is what we're about. You might be a doctor. You might be a teacher. You might be an engineer. You might be a bean counter and do a bunch of accounting and math and statistics. You might be in IT. All those are good and necessary and important jobs. But the most important job is to make disciples among the nations, and that's the priority. A tent maker understands the how. The how they go about making disciples is the marketplace. The marketplace, that job, is your platform. It's the means. So if disciple making is the ends, the means is your job. The second thing a tent maker, as a part of the tent maker's DNA, is they have a biblical sense of vocation. And that word vocation is simply, that means your calling. I like this quote from Frederick Buechner, one of my favorite writers. He said, "The place God calls you is to the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet." In other words, what brings you joy? What do you like to do? What are you good at? And what does the world need? And where those join together, that's a pretty good indication where God wants you to serve. But what you want to do is watch out for two extremes. One extreme is the sacred. In other words, I can only do mission work if I'm an official missionary or if I'm a pastor, if I'm trained and have this degree and this background. And that's not true. You could do all of those things with any sort of background, with any sort of training. God can use that in your life. You don't have to be an official anything to serve the Lord. The Bible is filled with a bunch of unofficial people that serve the Lord. You're talking about a fisherman. When Jesus called the 12, most of those guys were fishermen. In other words, they really didn't have much of a job. They just got out and fished. But God could use them. So watch out for thinking that way of it's got to be sacred. And then don't think about the secular, that false dichotomy either, and say, well, I sell things. I'm a merchant. God can't use that. God's not interested in using me if that's my job, if that's my vocation, if that's my work. That's wrong too. So that's a false dichotomy between the sacred and the secular. If you read the Bible, you realize it's all sacred. It can all be sacred to the Lord. He makes it sacred. He makes it special and called out and holy, and he can use it. And whatever you have in your life, he can use that. Also, a tent maker, part of their DNA, they have a grasp of global realities. So they understand kind of the lay of the land around the world globally. They have a heart for that. They have a burden maybe that's growing for the world that needs Jesus. Maybe they have been on short-term mission trips. And I would encourage anybody that's thinking about tent-making missions to definitely prepare yourself by at least going on one or two short-term mission trips. There's also books, websites, podcasts. We talk about preparing and training ourselves here on this program pretty often. So anybody can do that. You can pick up a book. You can visit a website. You can listen to a podcast like this one and help you to grow in that understanding of what God's doing in the world. And then just simply pay attention to the news and begin praying along those lines of what is God doing? Where is there a need? How can I pray? How can I grow a heart for specific peoples and places? And maybe where would God send me to serve in some capacity? A tent maker's DNA also includes exploring marketplace connections. So you definitely want to find a mentor, someone who thinks along these lines. They have a tent maker's DNA themselves. They might be someone who does business as mission or has done that. And they can mentor you and help you as you're exploring this and thinking about this, preparing for the future. One of the ways to prepare for the future is watching out for debt. And JD would encourage you, and I would encourage you, especially as a parent of a college student, just say no to school loans. Now, that's my encouragement. You do what you feel like God's wanting you to do. But debt, even school loans, can be a hindrance for people getting to the mission field. And the enemy really wants to use that. So watch out for it. You got to prepare and explore marketplace connections. That includes watching out for debt. And then finally, a tent maker. This is from J.D. Payne. A tent maker asks three important questions. One question is, what are or will be the most marketable degrees and skills in the next 10 to 20 years? How can I get ahead of that curve or at least ride that wave? What are some of the marketable degrees and skills? If I'm at a place in my life where I'm ready to explore this and prepare myself for this, what can I learn? How can I grow in my skills that I'll be marketable and be able to go somewhere in the world where God sends me? Now, there's some skills, there's some degrees that probably for a long time, they have been for a long time, and they probably will be continued for a long time, open, and you could pretty much go a lot of places in the world, almost anywhere. If you're a medical doctor, the world is pretty much open to you. But there are others that are important, like English teachers. And then some come and go, but you could do that research. You can do that homework and see what is available to you. Another question, a tent maker would ask this question: what are my own passions, interests, abilities? What is my spiritual shape? What do I have a heart for? What do I enjoy doing? What am I good at? And if you don't enjoy your job now, you don't want to go overseas and struggle with the same kind of job. That doesn't make sense. You need to have a job that you really love and enjoy. And if you do, then think about pursuing that in another location in a strategic way that it would allow you to serve as a disciple maker, a tent maker. And a third important question is, where does the marketplace intersect with the mission of God? What are the strategic places and locations? Where do those overlap? Where the marketplace need and my abilities and my skills and what God has equipped me to do and the mission opportunities that exist in those places? Where does all that overlap? So those are some good questions and good thoughts from JD on that. And I will just, let me add one more thing. It's very good to consider, and I hope people listening, some of you are considering, where does God want me to serve as a disciple maker, as a missionary, maybe not in official capacity, but maybe in a tent-making capacity, in a way I could support myself, my family, through this job, through this skill, through this work, but I could do it in a place that strategically makes sense for the Great Commission to be carried out, where people that are lost and unreached with the good news of Jesus, but they need what I can do in their location, and I can go and serve them in that way and then also share the gospel, share this good news with them. So maybe you're thinking that way. I hope so. But some of you might be thinking, well, I don't know if that's available to me. I don't know if I have what it takes for that, or the opportunity might not be there for me. That's okay. You have an opportunity where you are now to be a witness in the marketplace, to be a witness at your work. You can make a difference. You can make disciples right where you are. And so you could see yourself as a tent-making missionary, even without leaving home, except the daily commute to go to work. You can serve the Lord in that way. Let me give you 5 ways to be a witness at work. Simple ways that you can, through your work, at your job, that's your mission field, and you can make disciples. You could be a witness. Number one, you can have an excellent witness. In other words, your work is your worship, and your work can be your witness. If you do a really good job, if you're excellent in your work, and you do the best you can do, and people take note of that, and people notice, hey, this guy or this lady, she takes her work seriously. She does excellent work. Whatever that is, it could be a service. It could be a product that you're making or selling. It could be anything. Whatever your work is, if you are excellent in that, that excellence points to the one who is excellent, completely excellent. That's Jesus Christ. Your work can be a witness of who Jesus is, and it can reflect his goodness and his character and his love and his greatness to those around you. And so you can give glory to him. If you get any credit coming to you, you can pass that on to God. But your work in itself, you know, first of all, I should have said this at the very beginning. Work is a gift from God. It's a good thing. If you read in Genesis, before there was sin, before the fall, God made humans to work in the garden. Work was a good thing. Work was made by God to be enjoyable and to go about your work in his presence and carrying out what he wants you to do. That's a good thing. And so your work is a blessing from God. Now, sin might make it more difficult and make it at times not as enjoyable as it could be. But God created work as a good gift to man. And so your work can be a witness of excellence to God. Another witness at work is the integrity witness. In other words, your walk and your talk match up. And people at work notice if you are fake. They notice if you lack character. They notice when you do things maybe and cut corners and you make moral decisions that are wrong, that can damage your witness. But if you make right decisions and do what is right, you can bring a witness to the Lord through your integrity and your character at work. Another workplace witness is the witness of love, the witness of love, how you treat people. Nothing speaks louder than that. We must treat people with love and kindness. And when we do, we're giving witness to who God is, that He is a God of love. He is love. And God loves all those people that are hard to love at work. If we show them love, they will experience God's love even through us. So the witness of love. Fourth, the witness of finances, how we spend our money that we make. What do we do with our money? What do we do with the salary, with that paycheck? Are we glorifying God with our spending habits? That's a witness at work. And so that's something we need to think about deeply personally, but it's an opportunity to give witness to the Lord. And then fifth, a verbal witness. Actually bold enough to share the good news of Jesus when you have those opportunities at work. And being unashamed to speak the truth of God to people who need to hear that. And here's the thing, and by the way, I've got this off of a message from John Piper, and he talks about how all five of these need to be in place and working at the same time as a witness in your workplace. If one goes missing, it damages the rest. So we need to have excellence in our work. We need to have integrity as we work. We need to show God's love to those we work with. Our finances need to declare that our trust is in the Lord and not in our paycheck. And we should give verbal witness of the gospel as we work. So all of us can be a tent maker no matter where you are. So I would encourage you, if God's prompting your heart in this way, do a little research on your own. Find out what jobs are available overseas or in a critical area of need, and see if God might have equipped you to go and be that disciple maker or be that tent maker, making tents for the glory of God. And so that's my encouragement to you today, to pray about it, to talk with your family about it, to talk to somebody else in that realm of work, maybe a pastor, but definitely be thinking about how God has equipped you to serve Him as a tent maker for His glory. Thank you so much today for listening to Exploring Missions.